I didn't scare too many people away. You guys came back tonight. If you have your Bibles tonight, go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Before I tell you where we're going to be at, we got a lot of good opportunities coming up for the youth. I had the Brookville basketball coach reach out to me, asked if we wanted to sponsor another meal this year. And, you know, of course I said yes. And so Assurance Baptist Church gets to sponsor a Brookville basketball meal again. And our logo and our church name gets to go on all their basketball stuff. So I thought that was real cool, them reaching out to here. And then also about the carnival. The carnival could be totally different this year. Continue to pray for many people to come just because we had the opportunity to be able to send our flyer out to all of Northmont schools, and they're going to send it home to the parents and such. So it could be a crazy, awesome lot of visitors on Saturday. So pray for that. If you didn't get a job, if you want to come just to hang out and just eat pancakes, eat some pancakes, some sausage, hang out. Because last year we had over 300 people in the building, not all at once, but in and out, and we had all kinds of visitors. So you might see a visitor, and you could be the one that leads them to the Lord or gets them, help them get into church. Also, we have an opportunity for Northmont basketball game. We're going to sponsor a meal for them as well. And we get the opportunity to, I'm going to need help church-wide as far as we get to pass out T-shirts with our names on it, our logo. And to all the people that's out there, we get to hand out tracks, a flyer and such. We kind of did it last year, but it was kind of a miscommunication between myself and the athletic director. But this year we got the shirts for sure, and so just continue to pray for the youth because it's an amazing thing. God's doing amazing things with the youth overall. Bible studies are growing, new faces come every week, so continue to pray for the youth because they need it in this world that we're in. So also coming up, don't forget, Jeremy already mentioned that, but the tree, the gift. I feel like this is the most that we've done this year. We're talking about ordering more coming up because we put the tags on what, Crystal? Monday, and they're almost all gone. Literally, we had no more back in a vanilla envelope. We have everything that we have out, which praise God. And so we're going to order more. So pray what you can get. If you can get more, cool. But like Pastor Jeremy said, just bring it and we'll set underneath there and, you know, bless a lot of kids. Amen. So 1 Samuel, we're going to go to chapter 1. We're going to read here verse 9. Tonight I want to talk about, it's kind of a little bit with what this morning's message was, is Christ being spat on. But today, towards the end of my message this morning, we talked about, you know, don't be light, don't grow in the Lord, and don't, you know, sit out. And so my title tonight is Don't Sit Out on the Lord. And so here tonight we're going to talk about good old Eli on how he sat out and how he messed up his time here on earth. And so verse 9, chapter 1, it says, "So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord." Jump over a few chapters to chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 13, it says this, "And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside, watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out." You sit here and you think, sitting down is a picture in the Bible of several things. First thing is rest. I'll tell you what, I got a wonderful, wonderful afternoon nap today. It was great. I'm just letting you guys know. But rest. Jesus sitting on the right hand of God, his redemptive work was finished. We see there in Hebrews 10, 11, and 12. But then also rebellion. There in Psalms 1, sitting in the seat of the scorner. But then also relaxation and retirement. We see here in our text today that good old Eli, he was sitting. We know just his, just the past little stories, he was sitting and he was missing out on a lot. He sat out on his family, he sat out on being a leader. And so reading through this is something that we don't want to do. You know, God says, you know, we're supposed to be children of God. We're supposed to go out and you know, fight the good fight, right? And so notice here that there is no chair in the tabernacle. There is no time to sit down on God, but every time you see Eli, he's either sitting down or laying down in his bed. This is why this morning when I talked about, you know, a sluggard, sluggard is just, it's a word that just triggers. A lazy person triggers me. And there's a lot of things that people can go out and do and, you know, make themselves useful. And when you sit down for so long, you know, your back starts hurting. You lay down for so long, your back start hurting, your neck start hurting. But when you're up and moving around, yeah, sometimes some things ache, sometimes some things don't feel so well, but you're getting them around, and you're moving them around, and you get on through the day. But the more and more that you lay, the more and more that you sit, the more and more that you're just being lazy, you're being a sluggard, you ain't doing nothing. And when you see here, Eli wasn't doing nothing. I believe this is a symbolic of Eli's spiritual frame of mind, one where he sat down on God and quit. So ask yourself tonight, are you a quitter? Growing up in sports, my parents always told me, when you start something, guess what, son, you got to finish it. Man, I started soccer, and sitting there going up and down, up and down, up and down, I said, yeah, that ain't for me. And I started it. Man, I finished it, but I ended up being goalie, so I had to go up and down. The ball wasn't coming to me, so I got to sit down and sit right by the goal. Oh, the ball's coming to me, now I can get up. And then basketball came. Woo! Up and down, up and down, up and down. And I said, eh, you guys go ahead and score that basket. I'll be down here waiting for the ball. But you sit there and think, there's a lot of movement. But again, are you a quitter? When you start something, you should always finish it, no matter how bad the job is. You know, there's jobs that I've done in my past I never forget. And maybe there's some teens in here tonight. My dad always burned wood in the wintertime. About July, August, my dad said, all right, son, it's time to start cutting wood. We got to get about 5 or 6 cords, 7 cords stacked up. And this is how crazy my dad was. Hand on the Bible. He would say, oh, these look like some nice woods. There's some trees down. All right, so I'm going to back the truck up, and we're going to go in there. We're going to start cutting all the trees that are already laying down. I'm like looking at my dad like, what? We're just going to go into these random woods over here. We're just going to start cutting some trees. And he says, yeah. And so he backed his truck up, and we're, I don't know, probably about two trees in. We're cutting it. We're just throwing it in the back of the truck, and a cop comes by. And I said, Dad, I try to warn you. And the cop, my dad talked, and the owner came, and he says, look, this right here is, you know, for science, and it's protected. And my dad's like, oh, but this is how cool. The owner was like, look, I got some trees on my property that you can come and you can cut up that's already down. Don't cut none of my live trees. You can cut everything that's down. So every summer for like 5 years, from July all the way to about October, we was out there cutting trees, splitting it. Boy, we didn't have no four-wheeler, no trailer. We had a stupid wheelbarrow, and I had a wheelbarrow this, I don't know how far. It was probably from the stage all the way to the welcome area. Back and forth. Back and forth. And you're probably asking yourself, well, Brandon, how did you come so fat? Well, I ate a lot of Twinkies, all right? And so I sat there and I did it. And I tell you what, I wanted to sit down and say, man, I quit. Dad, I'm done with this. If you guys have seen the movie Holes, you know, I don't want to dig these holes no more, Grandpa. Well, you just got to do what you got to do. You started, you got to finish it. And so a couple of things that are interesting about this situation with Eli is that he sat down on God and was still in the temple. He sat down on God while he was still in leadership. He sat down on God and his family was in leadership. He sat down on God and was mentoring the next generation of leaders. Sitting down doesn't get you nowhere. Someone once said this, the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. Eli sat down spiritually a long time before he sat down physically. And there's some of you that's like this tonight. You're just here physically, but you ain't here spiritually. You're saying, oh, I got to check it off this week. And you're saying you're here, but then tomorrow you're going to be back to your old self again. You're just sitting down. Many people clock out mentally and spiritually and stay that way. One tombstone read this one time, died at 30 but buried at 70. They started out walking with God, believing God, worshiping God, and then they just sat down. And the sad part is, in today's world, that's a lot of us. We constantly get all so burnt out, instead of asking for help and praying and, you know, talking with God, we just give up, we sit. Instead of asking for others for help and say, hey, can you pray for me because I'm battling this certain issue, we just say, I'm done. But God says, I got you. But the thing is we got to ask God. We sit here and we try to do everything ourselves, but we're just human beings. We're just sinners saved by grace. And you sit there and you think about that. Well, I'm saved. I trust in God. Well, obviously you're not trusting God enough because you're just letting your own self lead and God's behind you saying, well, where are you going? You're messing everything up. God's not messing it up. It's you. When I was sitting there, doing this message, I taught this message at Bible study Wednesday, and a lot of this was like, man, this kind of hit home for me. You know, I sit there and try to lead my own self, and I got this, I can do that. But every time I do so, I fail. And I have to sit there, and I have to sit down and be like, man, what am I doing wrong? God's not there because I left him behind. And so I got to step back and say, God, you're the one that's in control. This is why I sit down a lot, because I'm trying to be in control. And so I sit here and I think Eli here is in the same position. He's saying, you know what? I'm so burnt out. I'm trying to do everything myself. I'm supposed to be a leader. I'm supposed to be this man of God. I'm supposed to be able to do this and do that. But in all reality, he's leaving God behind, and he looks and he's just like, oh, and he's wore out. And that's the same thing with us. You sit there and you think, you know, our pastor, he has a lot on his plate. He comes in, messages, people calls him, texts him, and emails him. And he still tries to control with his family. Still tries to be there with his family. But you know what? You know, this is why we know we got a true pastor. Because he doesn't get burnt out because he's so into God. We know we got a true pastor because we know that he loves God. We know we got a true pastor because he sits and he has good godly wisdom. Because he's in the Word of God. You know, some random person can come up here and, you know, just give something out of the Word of God because we can, you know, see him out of it. You know, a pastor's been doing it for 7 years, longer than that technically from preaching and all that. And but you sit there and you think about it is that we could have sought him out a long time ago if we knew who was fake or not. But our pastor loves each and single one of you guys. And we know that because, again, he's walking with God. And so you sit there and you think of how important all that is, because you think that they started walking with God, and we know that our pastor is walking with God. He didn't stop believing. He didn't stop worshiping. He didn't sit down because he's still walking. But note is, if you decide to sit down, there will be a price. There will be side effects. The first thing is he sat down on God as a parent. 1 Samuel chapter 3. Go to verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to be bouncing back and forth through some chapters tonight, all through Samuel. So keep your Bibles open in just these few chapters here. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13, it says this: "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and restrained them not." B is he sat down on God as a preacher. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." He sat down on God as a protector. Jump over a chapter to chapter 4 to verses 10 and 11. It says this: "And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell at Israel 30,000 footmen. And the ark of God was taken, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain." Sit there and think. He sat down as a protector. His own kids, done. Because he sat down. There's side effects from sitting down on God. Finally, number one is it will affect your familiarity with the people of God. You go back to chapter 1, verse 3, says this: "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there." Jump over to verse 7. "And as he did so," year by year, "when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat." Talking about Hannah here. So you're going to think, the people of God, it affected the people of God, the family. Next thing is their prayer life. Prayer is important, amen? And so jump over to chapter 1, jump over to verses 10 through 13. It says this: "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but wilt give unto the handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken. So do you think of that? Is she says she tried to pray and pray, but then you see here, there in those verses, she was praying but didn't recognize it as a prayer. Jump over, go back to, we're going to read verse 16. Same chapter, chapter 1, verse 16. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hither to the pain of others. She thought it was a prayer, but she couldn't. All she was doing is moving her lips. And then you see there is that she was in severe distress and she couldn't even tell. But it will also affect the plan of God. Look, go over a few chapters in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious. In those days there was no open vision. But also jump over to verse 17. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. So you see there, it affected the plan of God. He had to depend on others to tell him what God wanted. But then the next thing is the precepts of God. There, back chapter 3, verse 21, says this, and the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. But the next thing is it will affect your faith. You sit out on God, it's going to affect your faith. Again, just like the thing I said a minute ago is, you know, you try to get ahead of God, you try to walk away from God, and you're sitting there saying, I got this, I can do this all by myself, I don't need anybody else, you're going to fail. Your faith gets weakened after that because, God's the Almighty One, He's the powerful One, He's the sinless, He's the One that came from a virgin woman, and we sit there and we think is that we can sit here and we can walk and walk and walk and walk, but if God's not, you know, in front of us saying, hey, this is the way, then guess what, again, we're going to fail, and then when we fail, our faith gets just get weaker and weaker and weaker, and we don't want that. You sit there and you think, as a pastor, assistant pastor, people of God, as youth members, we don't want to be we don't want it where our faith is weak. We want it strong. So you go back to chapter 4, 1 Samuel chapter 4, and look at verse 13. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon his seat by the wayside, watching. For his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. There in 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power and of... let me restart that because this is good. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Instead of being confident and emboldened by the ark of God, he was afraid of what would happen to it. But the ark of God represented, one, God's power. Two, it represented God's presence. And three, it represents God's provision. But you sit there and you think, you go through all this, is that when your faith is, you know, excitement, and you're excited about the things of God, and you're not sitting around a pity party, and, oh, I can't believe this and that, and you're so excited, and you're ready to jump up and jump for joy because God did the amazing things, and you're trusting in Him, because, like I always say, there's times when I don't know how I'm going to pay for something. You know, I'm just like, God, it's your money, you do as you see fit for it. You know, me and my wife, we have, you know, goals for the next 5 years. And, you know, I'm trying to get all about goals. I used to just live by, you know, day by day. But now I'm just sitting there trying to, I got kids now. And now I'm watching them grow. And, you know, the cutest, let me put it this way. Even though it sounds kind of cheesy for me saying that. But the cutest thing to sit here and see having kids is they fight who over at the dinner table. Who's going to say prayer first? I want to say prayer. And I just want you guys to know, is they pray for a lot of you guys. They give a whole list every night. And then Megan says, "Dad, do you remember all that?" "I'll give my best." But it's just so exciting to see that their faith is starting to grow. Because they come to church and they get excited. You know, when they say, "Where are we going tonight?" "You're going to Awana." "Awana?" You know how little kids talk. They get excited. We should be the same way. Hey, babe, where are we going tonight? "Church." "Church, let's go! Woo!" But sometimes we say, "Church." And then, you know, the next thing is, and I'm guilty of this at times, what are we eating afterwards? I like food. Taco Bell? Sometimes it's the Black's Kitchen. Sometimes it's defend for yourself. Sometimes it's a bowl of cereal. But we should be excited as some of these kids are coming to church. Because their faith is growing. They're excited because not just because they see their friends, but they see us adults and the people that they look up to come in here. And they're growing and growing and growing and growing and getting excited. Because when it comes to the point where your kid says, "Oh, we're not going to church tonight," there's an issue. When your kid comes to the point where, "Mom, Dad, you forgot your Bible." It's okay. I don't need it tonight." That's an issue. Because your faith is starting to dwindle down. And you just don't even know it. But your kids are there just trying to pick you back up. So you sit there and you think of, don't let your faith get weak. Because once your faith gets weak, the world's going to come in and it's going to be like a snowplow and just plow you right out of the way and just take you just with the rest of the world. And so you sit there and you think, Eli, to this point, his faith got so weak, his vision's getting weak, he's getting up there in age, he can't really see nothing, all because he sat down on God and just slowly just, everything's going to be okay. He went with the wind. How many of you guys like going with the wind? I do sometimes, depending on what it is. I'm just being honest with you. Sometimes I'm like, we'll figure it out. Megan hates when I say that. Don't worry, we'll figure it out. Or the next thing, it'll be okay. Because it will be. I trust in God on that. God will figure it out. Even though she doesn't like me saying it, but I still do. Sometimes I have to sleep on the couch. Yeah. Number 3, will affect your focus. You know, I got these wonderful new eyeballs here. Praise God. I didn't think I was ever going to get any new ones. But, you know, when your focus gets messed up with, it's hard to see. It's hard to focus. It's hard to, go where you're going. You know, I feel bad. I'm sure there's others in here tonight, but I feel bad for Brother Logan Hatcher because he's colorblind. He always says, "I really don't know what color this is." And it messes with your focus. And you sit there and you think, when your focus is messed up on God, there's an issue as well. When your faith gets weak, your focus goes out, what do you do to that point? Turn to God. But let's see what happens when you don't. You see here that he was not just blind physically, he was going blind spiritually as well, but he was oblivious to the sins of his sons. He was oblivious to the seriousness of the failure to restrain them. He was oblivious to the word of God. He was oblivious to the risks he was putting Samuel in as a young man entrusted in his care. But he was old, but that had no impact here on Moses. Go to Deuteronomy. Too far. Deuteronomy chapter 34. Sorry. There we go. Or what some could say, Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. It says this: Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And you sit there and you think, he was watching, but he could not see. Eli there in verse 13. He could hear, but he was confused. There in verse 14, but he knew something was going on, but didn't know what it is. But it reminds me there in chapter 3, verse 17 in Samuel, where he knew God had spoken, but didn't know what he had said. But you sit there and think he was one of the last ones to know that God's presence and power was gone. But the number 4 is it will affect your family. This is very important to me as my family continues to grow one day as we go to other families' houses, we come to the church family. You know, moving here, my dad lives an hour and 20 minutes away. My mom lives an hour away. My grandparents, they're all in Texas and Oklahoma. I have one grandparent that lives with my dad. And then my wife's parents, my in-laws, they live in Indiana. And then all her family lives in Cleveland, majority of them. And so you sit there and think, when we come to church, I'm like, man, time to be around family. And so it's just exciting. But when you ruin the family, when you crush the family, who do you got? Who do you fall back to? Who's there to lift you up? Well, yeah, you can be spiritual and you can say, oh, God's there. God says he'd never leave or forsake you. But, you know, sometimes, you know, it's nice to be other around, you know, family. You know, my kids and me, especially my wife, we look at some of you guys, you know, as grandparents, as, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we get excited. When I come to church, I can just be like, I know who makes the best desserts. I know who makes some good food. You know, I'm going to sit there and I'm going to go right back to them and say, hey. You know, I tell you who makes them really, and she's going to like this. Miss Dawn. For the past few years, she's, made some wonderful chocolate covered strawberries for mine and Megan's anniversary. Whew, that's good. I don't want to crush that part of, you know, the family, you know. Don't go bombard her after service and say, I want some, because she only makes them for moi. But let's see what happens here with the family. He lost both of his sons in the same day. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 34. And this shall be the sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die, both of them. You know, we know that, you know, God sent his son to die on the cross. But I'll be honest with you, I can't imagine losing kids. I was sitting there talking to somebody today just about some family stuff, and he's talking about his kid and such, and, you know, he needed some encouragement. But I just couldn't imagine not being around my kid. I couldn't imagine losing a kid. I couldn't imagine just, and again, this sounds really bad, being a deadbeat dad. But you get to this point where it's like we do the same thing with God. We say, I love God, I love this, but we end up becoming deadbeats to him. Because we say, God's always there, amen? And he never, again, leaves or forsake us. But we say we love. We say we do this, we say we do that. But then when it comes to time when we're feeling good and we're excited and we don't need God no more, we just kind of leave him. And we become deadbeats. And I sit here and think, and again, this is to myself, because sometimes I'm not saying I'm perfect. There's times I'm like, I'm okay. But then God reels me back in real quick and says, you ain't okay without me. But you sit there and think about that. Is that we love our kids, we love our grandkids, we love our mom, our dad, aunt, uncles, and we'd go to them for anything that we need. But are you doing the same thing with Christ? We say we love Christ. Are you going all the way? Are you going to him? Are you going to him in your closet with prayer? Are you going to him in his word? Or are you just saying, I love you from a far distance, and that's as far as I want to go. I ain't going to touch you with a 10-foot pole. They had been in leadership and knew the rules and regulations, but he lost them. He was the last one to know about his kids. There in chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, I hear of our evil dealings by all this people. He knew, but he was too busy sitting out. What are you sitting out on tonight? I'm not done yet, so don't worry. But what are you sitting out on? Because there's a lot of stuff that we could be sitting out on right now. Maybe you have an issue with a family member that you haven't made ties yet. Because you say, I don't like them. We butt heads over this and that. And it's something that's so stupid that God says, hey, you need to reckon that. You need to get back together. You know, there's a lot of people in my life that I really, really dislike. I don't want to use the word hate, and I know I use it sometimes, but I really dislike them. But God says I need to love them still. I need to pray for them still. And I guarantee you, I'm not the only one in here tonight that says, You know, no, I guarantee you there's somebody in here that you probably need to call on the phone and say, you know what, I had an issue with you, but, you know, God says I need to, you know, make it right, and I want to say I'm sorry, my part. If they don't, that's between them and God. But maybe, you know, for tonight, as far as, you know, family, maybe there's something that you're keeping from your spouse. Maybe there's something that you're not giving, like putting all out on the table. And you sit there and you ask about that because, again, I'm sure you sit there and you think about Eli as he was lazy to this point where he just sat out on everything. Are you sitting out on your wife? Are you sitting out on your kids? Are you sitting out at your work? Are you just being a sluggard and you say, everybody else can take care of it? Because once it comes down to it, when you sit out for so long, eventually you're just to the wayside. No one even looks at you, especially if you're a leader. Are you just sitting out when you're supposed to be a leader? Because Eli was a leader. And you sit there and think, as he was still sitting out. He was watching from afar. So everything's going to be okay. This person got it. That person got it. No, reality, no. You're the leader, big guy. That's like preacher sitting out to the side and saying, Brandon, you got it. And I'll be honest with you. I ain't got it. I'll be honest with you. I'm not 100% ready for being a head pastor. There's a lot. Sitting there just the past few weeks, I still haven't done half the stuff that preacher has done. There's a lot to it, more than what some of you guys think. Some of you guys been pastors. Some of you guys, you know, been in the scenes. And you sit there and think, there's a lot to it. Number five, it will affect your future. You know, talking about plans, you know, five-year plans, 10-year plans. This is a lot. Future. This is generations. This is kids. This is, you know, looking out, you know, having a vision for what your life, what you want your life going to be. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what you got because God's going to always trump it. But you sit there and you think, you know, me and Megan sitting there talking like, man, 10 years, Braxton's going to be 15 years old. Woo! And that's going to be here before we know it. You know what that means? Well, we got to start saving up for a car. Man, Maisley's going to be 13. Woo! It's kind of crazy to sit here and think about. But it affects your future if you're just going to sit out on the sidelines. You sat there, and again, you go back through Eli, he sat out, his kids died, and again, he sat out, and he got old, he sat out, and eventually we're going to see here just in a second what happens when he sat out for so long, but you see here in verse 14, the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged forever. His grandson, his legacy, his heritage was named Ichabod, the glory is departed. They lived 20 years before they ever saw the ark that was stolen the day he was born. 1 Samuel chapter 7, jump over a few chapters here. verse 2, it says this, and it came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And so you sit there and you think about that is, again, they lived 20 years before they ever saw. It affects your whole future. When you sit out for so long, it just affects. It's just like a car being parked for so long. It just sat there and sat there. What happens with a car when it sits so long is, you know, it starts rusting. Things, you know, starts to break down. Things start not to work. I got a truck that's been sitting for about a year and a half now, and eventually, I say this all the time, I will get to it. And that's how we're doing in our lives and today is, you know, we're sitting down for so long and you say, I'll eventually get up. And then you'll say, I'll eventually get up. It's just like that diet I always say. I'll eventually get to that diet. I'm already talking about, you know, going on another diet in the beginning of the year. Again, don't quote me on it. I'm trying, okay? I was telling Miss Sharon and Miss Kitty, you know, I really like this jacket. I just bought this jacket. And I said, this is going to push me to lose some weight because I can't button it. If I try to button it right now, somebody's eye might get blasted. And I can't let that happen. But you sit there and you think about this, is that Eli sat out for so long. Eventually, God says, eh. It is what it is at this point. You're not going to listen to me. You're not going to listen to nobody else. All this stuff happened in your life. You go back to Job. Job listened. He questioned a lot. There's a lot of questions. We're the same way. Something doesn't happen, go our way. Something happens in our life, we question a whole lot. It's okay to question, but when you start sitting out and saying, eh, you lose your faith, eh, you lose your family, eh, you mess up your future, eh, everything's going to be okay. In all reality, it's not. So you sit there and you think here, as you notice there in 1 Samuel, going back to our very text, chapter 1. Verse 9. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. You'll notice one thing here. The second part of that. Now Eli the priest sat upon his seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. You notice as he's sitting by a post. Why are you sitting by a post? He was propped up against the thing that was holding things up. Even the post was doing more than what he was. It's pretty crazy to think about. There's a lot of things in our life that's doing more than what we're doing right now. What's holding you up right now? A sign you are sitting down on God is when you are no longer being used to uphold the house of God, but rather those that are upholding the house of God are having to prop you up also. You can't afford to sit down on God, so this is what you got to do. Stay faithful. Well, how do you do that? Like I always say, prayer works. God's word is true. You sit there and you think about how awesome God is. But also, stay in the fight. Don't be a sluggard. Don't be a bum. Life is hard. I know you say, well, you're young. You haven't really done a whole lot. I'm getting there. You know, my kids push me a lot. And I'm ready to fight. That's how I stay in the fight, because I fight them. I'm just kidding. But you sit there, stay in the fight. Fight the good fight, Paul says, right? Don't be a slugger. Don't sit out and wait for everybody else to do it. And just say, victory, yay, victory. No, if you didn't do anything, you don't get to say victory. You just get to continue to sit there and allow the post to hold you up. But the next thing is stay engaged. Be focused. Don't let the things of the world unfocus you. Stay focused so much on God that that's all you see. Because again, when you're focused on everything else around you, that's all you're going to see. It's almost Christmas time. One of my favorite times of the year, just because of Christmas lights. I love Christmas lights. My son's the little elf, literally. He goes outside in shorts and a t-shirt and just rolls around. I'm making a snowball. I'm going to throw it at you, Daddy. Ha! I wish you would. But what are you doing for God? Are you sitting down on him? Don't get me wrong. There's times when I sit down. I'm not perfect at all. But when I sit down and I see from the outside in and I see how awesome God is and the things that he continued to do, because I wasn't looking for an email from Brookville saying, hey, would you like to sponsor a mill? Normally, I'm the one that's reaching out. Normally, I'm the one that's sitting there trying to, do it all I can. And, no, they reached out to me. And I was like, wow, praise God. This is exciting. So this gets me pumped up. So now, I said, you know what? Thanks, God. I needed that. Because sometimes doing these Bible studies, it's a lot because a lot of the teachers are against it. Every week, drives me nuts. We go to Brookville Bible study. The stinking door is locked every week. Hey, guys, can one of you guys go down to the office and tell them to unlock the door again? So they go down. Well, make sure you bring the key back. Well, can you make sure you unlock the stinking door? But it's always a fight. But you got to stay engaged. You got to keep moving forward. You got to keep going and pressing towards the mark. I'll say this and I'm done. Even with Northmont, with the carnival, the lady says, I don't think I can approve this because it's out of district. And I said, that's fine. If you can't, it's no biggie. We do a bunch of stuff with Northmont communities. We do all kinds of stuff. I have a Bible study there. We're part of the Northmont Chamber. We do everything we can. We're just here because this is where God has us. If you don't, that's fine. I'm going to continue to pray. Literally, like 2 minutes later, I got an email. It's processed. I approved it. Everything's good. What would you like to do? You got to stay in the fight. I could easily said, I'm not going to email her back. I'm done. No. Stay in the fight. Pray. Prayer works. I promise. It might not be the outcome you want. It's the outcome God wants at the end of the day. There's too much at stake to sit there and just sit out on God. Amen. If I can have eyes closed, head bowed.